Hello, gorgeous.
I would make a great queen because I am so stubborn.
Well, when I'm good, I'm very good. But when I'm bad, I'm better.
Never take a learning opportunity away from another student. No matter how smart you meet everyone to think you are.
I am dancing a bright beam of light.
For the food.
What's up, everybody? This is I'm Here for the Food, where we discuss topics that feed your mind, your spirit, and hopefully your soul. I'm Melissa.
I'm Blue.
Chantel.
Yay! We're all here, peeps.
We're so chipper.
Yeah. I want to remind you guys, well, I want to thank you guys so far for, have you seen the views on the episodes?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, people have been watching.
Yeah, watching and liking and commenting. And
yes, they have been commenting. They have been engaged. Yes, you guys. Oh, I'm so happy. For anybody who's watching and has not hit the subscribe button either on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, that's where you can find us. Don't be afraid to drop a 5-star, you know, and a review. Yeah,
5.
We won't be mad at you. We'll love you long time. come on now. We're trying to make this show like 2 and 3 days a week for you guys. A lot of people have said, okay, I'm kind of addicted to the show. Need more episodes. I'm like,
I saw that.
Yeah.
Really? I did not
see. Yeah. And I was like, oh, heck yes. Okay. Yeah.
2 or 3 a week.
Yeah. Well, you
know. It's a talk show, guys.
That's a talk show.
It's not a podcast anymore. That's called a talk show. We're not opposed to that.
That's a talk show. People seem to really be enjoying the content that we're discussing, you know. And when I had the idea for the show, that's why, you know, I'm Here for the Food is, you know, funny play on my dating life, but food for thought, food for the soul, you know? And I mainly wanted to have, you know, guests that were basically like walking special interest pieces, you know? And I think that today we have really accomplished that. So just to preface this conversation and who our guest is going to be, I wanted to read some notes that I wrote just because I don't have them memorized. My brain does not work like that anymore. But I wanted to really discuss a topic that seems to be acquiring a significant amount of attention, but it is not a new problem, and it's a vital social issue and a scourge on society, and that is human trafficking. Specifically, human trafficking for the sex trade. Yeah. Millions of people, mainly women and young girls, are trapped in prostitution rings worldwide, with the U.S. being one of the worst countries for human trafficking. Most people thought of this as, you know, like an international issue, you know, with the movie Taken and Bulgarians and Serbians and whatnot. No, it's homegrown. It's
right here.
It's right in the U.S. And we're hearing a lot of really horrific stories on the internet of people who have, you know, escaped potential abductions.
Yeah.
You know, that's incredible to me.
In broad daylight.
In broad daylight. You know,
just and going about their normal day, shopping.
Yeah, it looks like visiting, whatever. It looks like they're using things, you know, that are part of our daily lives, like Lyft, like Uber, and they're using that in order to, you know, try to procure new talent, you know, for these prostitution rings. So, like I was saying, you know, societal issues such as poverty, violence, and lack of opportunity allow for the expansion of the global sex trade, which is said to generate about $99 billion yearly.
Wow,
that's disgusting.
It really, really is, and it takes away our feeling of safety. Like, I don't know about you, but when I go to the store, I expect to go and get my groceries. Mm-hmm. If I get in an Uber, you know, at first when Uber was new, people were like, oh, well, asking a stranger for a ride, like, I don't know about that. But then now it's just become so much of our general daily activities.
Yeah.
And so, but there have to be safety precautions. Like, I always make sure that I look at the license plate before I get in.
Yeah.
Wow. If the license plate is different, I call them and say, put your hand out so I can see who, because I'm not getting into a car with the wrong license plate.
Wow.
And it's crazy that even with that whole thing that's happened with Ray J and Princess Ray J's from Love and Hip Hop Hollywood, and his wife were having like a disagreement of some sort. And
while they were in Vegas for the Soul Train Awards, and apparently he left her.
He left her, and because they got into an argument. I don't know about what's happening in their personal lives, but at one point someone said, "Why didn't Princess just like leave without him?" And she said, "I'm eight months pregnant, and sex trafficking. I mean, like, is a real thing. I don't want to be abducted."
Yeah,
right. And that was just kind of sobering. Like, you're thinking, like, wow, a pregnant woman is scared to travel alone because she's scared she might get like taken.
Well, the reality of the situation is that society has changed in such a way that we can't take for granted going into public spaces like train stations, like stores, like malls, like, you know, baseball games and that sort of thing, because domestic terrorism is a very real thing that we have to that we have to be aware of. And now this is yet another problem that is presenting itself, and it's frightening. You know, I was thinking to myself, like, could that happen to me? And then I thought, no, I'm too old, you know, but I don't know. I might get mistaken for 20, you know. I have no idea. However, it has made me think about my level of personal safety.
Right. For sure.
My assessment of risk, in terms of just what do I do that could, where I could be a little bit more hypervigilant. And that's what I wanted to talk to you guys and you guys out there about, is discovering ways to increase your level of personal safety, your knowledge of how to make yourself a lot more safe and secure, and also how to do the same thing for your friends and family, you know?
Right.
That's
you know, just, the one thing I will say is, please put your protection ahead of politeness.
Oh,
because that, a lot of times women in particular, I don't have this problem because apparently I'm about that life, right? But a lot of times women are taught to be polite.
No, you know what it is?
And so we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So if a guy is walking behind you in a building, you feel uncomfortable, you don't want to say, "Actually, sir, can you wait for whoever you're waiting for to come down and get you? I don't want you walking up behind me." Like, we don't create those boundaries.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times I've protected myself and been called rude. And I was like, I'd rather be rude and safe.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean,
absolutely, and tell your friends that.
But what I've noticed, especially with women, like you said, we have a fear of offending, you know, and I think it's naturally ingrained in us from a very young age, you know, and so we put ourselves in harmful situations when there is a red light going off in our minds, like our instincts are like, run, Forrest, run, and we are just like, well, they haven't done anything, and well, I don't want to make them, you know, no, who cares? No, if there is a red light going off and the instincts are like, you are in danger, girl.
Listen to
the instinct. Yeah. And who cares if you look like a fool for a second? Who cares? At least you're safe.
Yeah.
You know, so that women, girls, that fear of offending people, yo, put that to the side, because we are not in a position where that even matters at this point. I also wanted to talk about, you know, pornography on the internet and what's known as the dark net also helps to keep expanding the illicit market for young girls and boys to be exploited as sex slaves. The average age to be inducted into the trade is 12.
Oh my God.
And obviously many who attempt to escape are, you know, murdered. Mm-hmm. And it's the most vulnerable people of society that are usually the ones that are, you know, that are victimized. You know, it's runaways, children in foster care.
Yeah. LGBT teens who are kicked out the house.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Exactly. LGBT teens, young adults. There's just fringe society members who don't have, you know, like an environment that's protective of them. Mm-hmm. You know, a safe place, a home, a family.
Minorities that people think no one will notice or no one will make a big deal if these people are missing. Yes. So we're free to take them.
Yeah. So the other form of trafficking is also labor. You know, so people are promised, you know, work when they're, you know, coming from other countries and whatnot. And when they get here, there is a debt that they will never, ever, ever be able to pay off. And they are, you know, they're just subject to, you know, just inhumane hours, no money, and torture. So we really wanted to discuss this today just because it just keeps coming up. You know, in conversation, there was a girl who, she was terrified. Did you see the video? I feel like it took place in Atlanta. And here's the crazy thing about Atlanta. So let me read you guys some statistics about human trafficking as of 2019, the worst states for human trafficking. Number one is California, where we live.
Oh.
Yeah.
Number one is California. Number two is Michigan. Number three is Georgia. The estimated economy of human trafficking in Georgia is $290 million. And number four is Nevada. Number five is Illinois. Number six is North Carolina. Seven is Pennsylvania. Eight is Arizona. Nine is Washington. And 10 is New Jersey. And these stats are based on reported incidents. The true number is definitely higher. And so the video I was talking about, it was a girl that had called an Uber and she got into it. And then he started to just drive down, you know, streets and roads that were off the beaten path and not in the direction of where she was going. And then he pulled up behind a van and some guys got out of the van and it looked like that she was about to get pulled into it, but she ran for her life. And so she got on online and she started to talk about what had just happened to her. And you could just see wow. that you could see in her pupils, like how dilated they were and how like the sheer terror that she had just experienced. And she probably just escaped with her life.
It's actually, well, I don't know why I blocked it. That actually happened to me in New York when I was living in the Bronx. A cab driver tried to abduct me while I was in the cab, and he pulled up underneath a bridge, and I immediately called my best friend and started screaming out all the landmarks.
Wow.
I made myself a really inconvenient victim.
Yeah. Wow.
And he got so upset that he just like screamed and made me get out of his car, but it was clear what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And so that's why I always say, I'd rather be rude than mm-hmm. be dead or taken. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Because I've been in several situations where I tend to present younger than I am. I tend to be smiley a lot. People mm-hmm. think I'm a mark because I'm so approachable and mm-hmm. naive seeming. Mm-hmm. People yeah. always think I'm much more naive than I really am. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So he did not know that he picked the wrong one.
I was yeah,
a good 5 years older than he thought I was. And I screamed like a banshee.
Well, wow.
I screamed like a banshee and made it so inconvenient.
Which is what you have to do.
Which is what you have to do.
Absolutely.
Right? But not everybody has the wherewithal to think of that in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think because I work in the news and I see so many stories every day, mm-hmm. I don't have the luxury of not knowing what's out there. So
yeah.
it's made me naturally hypervigilant.
Yeah.
And some of these times, it's not people who come from broken families.
Mm-hmm.
People who come from families that have really limited resources.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like if your mother's working two or three jobs...
Yeah,
she can't physically be there to see that you're gone or you're missing mm-hmm. or whatever. So a lot of times these people do come from loving families. It's just that there's not enough resources to have people out there looking out for them, or there's not a community the way they yeah. used to be back in the day.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, there would be a community. If you didn't come home, someone would notice.
Yeah.
These days, yeah. it's a slippery slope.
But it's mm-hmm. also the internet. Like a lot of, predators and human traffickers, pimps, they are soliciting girls on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just in this day and age where we, you know, where we're attached to our phones and we're texting all day long. You can fall in love over text like that. You know, it's really easy, you know.
Plus in the porn industry, one of the most played parts in the porn industry is an underage girl.
Yeah.
So you have all of these men and women who are watching these underage girls, they're supposedly underage girls, perform and do all kind of crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
You can only fantasize about something for so long
yeah.
before you want to go and get the real thing.
Right.
And so when you go and get the real thing, you're not going to go get a 20-something-year-old that's going to play a 14-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a 14-year-old because that's what you've been watching and fantasizing about this mm-hmm. whole time.
Yeah. Well, so. Chris Hansen, shout out to you for To Catch a Predator.
Pioneer.
That was one of my favorite shows forever and ever.
Yeah.
Like I love what they were, you know, what they were attempting to do with that. But so what we did as preparation for this talk and for this interview was we watched the movie Skin in the Game. So it came out this year, and it's a fictional depiction, a fictional story based on real life events. And we have the lady who the real life events is based around. Her name is Jayla Baxter.
That's amazing.
She has an incredible story.
Yes.
She markets herself as a self-esteem advocate and a human sex trafficking advocate as well. So before I read off any more statistics, I want to bring her in so that we can talk to her because she probably knows a whole lot more than we all do.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to educate us and she's going to, you know, educate you guys as well. So hold that thought. Okay, guys, so we're back, and we have an amazing guest with us. Her name is Jayla Baxter. She is Jayla, the self-esteem queen on IG. She is a sex trafficking prevention expert. She is an emotional intelligence expert. A lot of you might be able to benefit from that. but you focus on at-risk youth.
That's correct.
Servant leadership expert. I'm going to ask you to define all of that, but first sure. we want to offer you the biggest welcome. Thank you for being
yes.
here. Thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for the incredible spirit that you are.
Thank you.
So I watched Skin in the Game. I assigned it as a homework assignment to these two. Did you guys watch it?
Very good.
I watched everything. I've binge watching.
We were binge watching everything that yes. we could find on the internet about you. Sure. And so let's start with Skin in the Game. You were a consultant on the script.
Sure.
And the character of Erica Ash was playing Lena.
Yes.
That's based on you.
That is based on me, yeah.
How much of the script was dramatic effect and how much of it was like was truthful to your experiences?
So I'd say about 80% of it was truthful to my experiences. Wow. It's loosely based on my life mm-hmm. and the work that I've done. Mm-hmm. During the filming of the movie, I had actually rescued my friend's daughter. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it is very real. And I think the story that I really wanted to depict was not all pimps are men and not all bottom bitches are women.
Right, right, yeah. right. So in the script, or sorry, as the story unfolds, one of the most, the villain of the story, you know, one of, but the biggest one is a woman.
Yeah.
She's a pimp.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people assume that women are just victims in the sex yeah. trafficking trade. But unbeknownst to a lot of people, a significant amount of traffickers and pimps are women.
Correct.
Which makes it even more frightening and so duplicitous, yeah. you know, one of our favorite words.
We've talked about this before, about internalized misogyny.
Yeah.
How a lot mm-hmm. of times women are the biggest proponents of misogynist behavior. So.
Right.
Yeah. yeah. How does that happen where a woman is okay? I mean, obviously she's been hurt. She's been scarred. She's been through so much herself. How does she get to the point where she's just like, I'm going to subject other women to this?
So you have to understand that there are a good number of minority women who are pimped by their own family members.
Yeah.
And these are things that, of course, we don't really talk about in mainstream media, but you think that human trafficking and sex trafficking is something that I've been in for 19 years, and I was a teen prostitute, so that was over 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. The media, it hasn't caught up yet. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of people in lower socioeconomic areas who may have an uncle who is grooming his niece. And in that grooming, the same way that they would groom their nephew, right? They're grooming the niece, and then the niece starts to follow in the uncle's footsteps, and now she's pimping.
That's
I love that you said that. Mm-hmm. It's an uncle and a niece, because we were talking about why people have internalized misogyny, because mm-hmm. they attach it to somebody that they love. Mm-hmm. When yeah. someone you love normalizes something that's like that,
yeah.
you attach like wanting to protect misogyny. Because you want to protect your relationship
yeah.
with that
yeah.
man. If you admit what you're doing is wrong, then you have to re-examine this person that you love, right. whether it's your uncle, right. your brother, your father.
Yep.
So mm-hmm. it's almost like, if I admit this is wrong, I'm admitting my family member who I love hurt me.
Yeah.
And you wow. don't want to admit and that.
Because that messes up the relationship that
it's
you have
tied
with them.
To, it's, yeah, it's so always, tied. It's always tied to love or belonging or family in some
wow.
kind of way.
Yeah. yeah. I wanted to know more about, when you watch the movie, you want to know more about Lena's character. Yeah. You can tell that this woman has lived a very long, difficult life, you know, in the short amount of time that she's been on this earth. Yeah. She's gone through hell and back.
Yeah.
She just knows how to speak to, like, the worst people walking the earth. She knows how to communicate with them. There was some really difficult moments in that movie to watch. But what it made me wonder was, how was your story? Because I don't know that. I don't know how you became a teenage prostitute. I don't yeah. know what happened in your life for that, yeah. to facilitate that happening.
Sure.
So I wanted to ask you about that. I wanted to ask, like, what did it look like? You know, what did your life look like prior to getting into the game? Who recruited you? And what was daily life like?
Yeah. Sure. So a lot of times, the reason why people, first let me say, the reason why people don't heal is because the people that abuse them are still alive. Mm. And so people have this need to still protect the people that are still alive. I don't have that need. Mm. And my story is not uncommon. My mom, at a certain point in her life, chose a man over her children. And I was abandoned at an airport here in California when I was 14 and a half. We didn't have cell phones then. And I ended up in Compton living with my grandmother. And the man that moved in across from her was young, in his early 20s, dope dealer, gangbanger. And I ended up, I sort of think he recruited me.
Yeah. Did you think you were falling in love with him? Was it that kind of thing?
So it was more, you know, it was the whole, you know, let's be in a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was groomed, mm-hmm. and I thought we were in a relationship, and then, you know, was at his house, and then one day, you know, another man appeared, and all of a sudden he wasn't there, and he was coaxing me to have sex with this other person. And that guy is now doing 25 to life for rape by force or fear. But, you know, at the time, you know, I found him to be someone that I loved. But mm-hmm. more important, I became a teen prostitute. And so I was an honor student by day and a prostitute by night. Would sneak out and go prostitute. Wow. And, you know, sneak out. It was easy because I'd go right over to his house. And so I wouldn't be far from my own house. And then became a professional escort. Did my undergrad at LMU here in LA, and was double majored. And just addicted to the sensation of an orgasm, because I was molested by my uncle from the age of 3 on. And so, you know, back to what you were saying, you know, when you know that what you're doing is wrong, you know, when you don't have the cognitive thinking skills to really, you know, mm-hmm. you know, I slept with my uncle after I knew molestation was wrong. And a lot of people aren't transparent, and that's why people don't heal. I'm as transparent as they get. And so that's how I ended up on the streets. And then I continued to go on the streets as a college student, and just, you know, I wanted to be a motivational speaker. I figured I'd start right there in the streets. And so that ended up with me sort of rescuing right out of college. And so I spent 18 years doing that.
Okay, so when did escorting and prostitution end for you?
Yeah, so I became a Jesus freak, gave my life back to Christ in the year 2000, and was sort of just like married to the church until 2005, when Hurricane Katrina happened and the church took all the money and didn't give anything to my relatives in New Orleans. I left the church and decided that I was going to become the church. So I got a master's mm-hmm. degree in divinity. And instead of going to a church, I created my own church, which was to feed the homeless without social media. And so it was, you know, a little project that I started, and then have a lot of friends in the LGBTQ. And so I started I'm Gay Now What, which is mentoring for LGBTQ youth. I have always been someone who's just wanted to help other people. So it all stopped in 2000, mm-hmm. and that's when I started to rescue.
Wow. I'm definitely fighting back tears right now. I love your story, and it's just, I love the strength that it shows. One of the things that I hear a lot, and one of the things that I try to live by, is be the person you needed when you were younger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you embody that. I can't imagine the strength that it takes to do what you do. I was watching one of your interviews, and you said at some point you decided that you had to decide that you were responsible for your own happiness.
Yeah.
Yep. And yeah. Was there a moment that triggered that you were just like, you know what, I've been doing this, but I have to take control somehow. And what did that look like?
Sure. So I didn't come from like a bad background. You know, my mom was an entrepreneur. She had a child care in the home with 22 kids, a master's degree in early childhood development. I watched a divorce ruin her life. And that was traumatic for me to see my mom go from being with educated people to hood niggas. That was hard for me. Mm-hmm. The person I grew up with, that was not who. And so for me, the only thing that I've ever focused on was breaking generational curses. My whole life is about breaking generational curses. Mm-hmm. I don't do anything in my life unless I'm breaking a generational curse. And so my life is not my own. I don't really live my life for me.
Yeah.
And so I'm only really living my life to break generational curses, period.
Mm-hmm. You know what's so interesting for me is you have a very, like, beautiful spirit, right?
Sure.
And we've been having a lot of that where we've been attracting... And I, you know, I'm about to talk that talk. We've been attracting a lot of beautiful souls in this room.
Yeah.
One of the things that for me makes this feel fascinating is I often get into arguments with people when they talk about sex workers and prostitutes.
Yeah.
And there's this thing in their throat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's this stink in the way that they talk about it, right?
Sure.
And so the fact that you are such a beautiful person and you seem so lovely, but like you're using words like prostitution and you're talking about incest and you're not using shame as a currency, which I love, right? I hate, I do not like any situation where shame is being bartered like a currency.
Sure. Yeah.
And so the fact that you are so shameless about how you're talking about it, for those people who at dinner parties think I'm crazy when I say you shouldn't talk about sex workers as if they're less than human.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I often get a lot of pushback, particularly in Black spaces that are supposed to be about revolution and being woke. I'm like, why did everybody take a nap on this one topic?
Yeah.
And so I love that you say it without pulling any punches, but what would you say to people like me who are constantly trying to explain to my cohorts that being a sex worker isn't a character flaw? It's a situation that you're in, but you're still a good person. Like, what's the biggest misconception people have about young people who find themselves in the predicament you did? Because clearly you're a great person. It doesn't mean you're a bad person just because of what you went through.
Sure. So everybody on the streets isn't on the streets for the same reason. You know, exactly. Some kids, you know, are runaways, but you don't know what they're running away from. Mm-hmm. You know, they could be, you know, having sex with their father and be tired of that and want to leave home. They could be having, you know, being raped by their brother and want to leave home. And maybe their savior is a man on the streets, right? Some Romeo pimp who's come and found them and maybe treats them better than they were treated in their own home. Oftentimes I've rescued girls, you know, from prostitution or sex trafficking, right? And, you know, you take them back home and it's kind of like, well, damn, did I... You wait and you're like, well, damn, their home life is more horrible than this pimp who I've known for 2 years and, you know, treats all his women really good and stable. I don't try to argue with people about sex workers because the reality is that everybody is out there for a different reason. Some women are out there and some young girls are out because they want to be out there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's popular. And especially here in L.A. And with
what does that mean? What does that mean, popular?
Sure. So,
like trendy?
So trendy. There were a couple of girls on Snapchat that had over 1 million followers, the Pretty Hoe and the Fine Hoe. One of them is currently doing 15 years because on gun charges and pimping and pandering. And she's in her early 20s with a couple of kids that now her grandmother is taking care of. And,
wow.
You know, you sort of, you know, that's the tale. I mean, she was out here terrorizing, right? Right in L.A., she was terrorizing young people. You know, having girls tattoo her name on their face.
Oh, my God.
And when you just understand that that's more common than not, when you understand that the self-love and the self-esteem that's not being taught to our girls is really having a damaging effect, it's happening everywhere. I don't try to reason with people that don't understand sex workers, because the reality is that a lot of women are having sex for free, and they're working really hard to get something, a bag or this or that. Mm. You understand? And that's sex work, too. But because they're not on a corner or because they're not on some website, then they don't consider it that.
Yeah, it's Ooh. Really
a lot of people that are gonna be like, amen to
that's
that
a word.
But that is so true. When you're not connected to what you're doing and you're not willing to look in the mirror, it's really easy to look at somebody
really
else and be like, you shouldn't be doing that.
It's really easy to hold up that magnifying glass of criticism.
Absolutely.
But turn it around on yourself. Most people are not willing to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to see that there was more than one character kind of based off of you. Erica Ash's character of Lena, which was the one that was assisting her friend try to find her daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then, what was her name? The young girl that believed that her pimp was...
Violet.
Violet.
Yeah.
So sweet voice like you. I'm starting to see that she was patterned after the younger you. Am I right?
So let me just say this. Every actor and actress in the movie, I met with personally, and sort of helped to shape their role, where they were from, what their story was, and so it could have been the younger me. Mm-hmm. I sort of shaped every role because I felt like I wanted it to be an authentic story, and didn't really think it would go any. I didn't know it really be made into a movie. I really was just, you know, wanting to, you know, sort of tell a story other than a documentary, because you see so many documentaries, but they're not real.
Yeah.
And there's so much complex trauma that young girls and also young men go through on the streets, the complex trauma that they got before they got there, the complex trauma they go through there. And then you have all these people walking around with PTSD, and you're just like, well, where'd that come from? And it's like, yeah, you know, just the way that she was getting the help, and then heard from the other girl in the home, oh yeah, I heard he got another girlfriend, and next thing you know, she's back on the street, and it's like, okay, I've rescued girls 2 and 3 times.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I have to not have judgment towards them, because you don't know the mindset and the psyche of someone that young that is really thinking that this guy loves them and wants to be with them in a relationship.
There was a statistic said in the movie that it basically takes 7 times to rescue somebody for good.
Yeah.
7 times of them attempting to go back to their abuser, to the person, the predator that trafficked them.
It's an addiction.
I think it's more Stockholm syndrome.
It's all you know.
Yeah, which is frightening in itself. I wanted to ask you your opinion after having gone through everything that you've gone through, and then just how many victims you've met. Like, it's, you know, you probably don't even have a number, but I wanted to ask you, like, what do you think it is about the young female psyche that leaves her so vulnerable to predators running these rings?
Sure. So
from your experience, what do you commonly hear?
It's a lack of parenting, and it's a lack of self-love from the parents. You know, people don't want to hear this. This is the story that people don't want to hear. It's like, well, how do they end up on the streets? Well, how were you as a parent? And most parents don't want to admit, well, I was a shitty parent. Mm-hmm. Most parents don't want to admit, okay, well, I'm so focused on this over here that I can't focus on this over here. Most parents don't want to admit that, right? There's a lot of abuse that goes on, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, mental abuse to young kids. And then there are, you know, the dynamics, of course, where a woman is spending all of her time with a new man or has a new baby or, you know, and then the kid feels misplaced. That happens a lot, but it's not just young girls. A lot of young men out there too, because their sexuality is not respected at home, or because they are bullied at home because of their sexuality, things like that, or because they're kicked out of their home. And then all of these kids aren't from lower socioeconomic backgrounds. Some of them are from the hills of Hollywood, and their families don't accept them because of the culture, right? And not all of them are LGBTQ. Some of them may be goth, right? And their family just doesn't accept them, and so they end up on the streets. And how do you make money if you don't have an address? You sell your body.
And a lot of those parents don't think they're bad parents, because they're thinking, I don't beat my child, I provide a roof over your head, so what if I talk to you harshly?
Yeah.
It's okay, right? Like, I'm from a huge Caribbean community, and you know, some immigrant parents can say some stuff that will hurt your soul. And you're like, oh, okay, I thought I was doing good at life. And so, like, there's such normalized verbal abuse in a lot of households.
Yeah.
And we say it's culture.
Yeah.
Or tradition, right? Like, I have a friend who every time he comes home with less than an A back in the day, his parents would call him worthless.
Had he
been more sensitive,
that
probably would have hit him funny. You know what I mean? Luckily for them, they had a child who took it as a challenge, but not everybody rises to that kind of verbal abuse.
You never know how people are going to respond. Somebody could say, you can say something to one child and they take it as motivation, and another child and it destroys their life. Like, you just never know. But that's why love and protection has to be, is so central to raising our kids.
What does love and protection look like? Because it has to, some point, have free agency, right? Because you're talking about goth, right? So in that sense, you think you're loving and protecting your child, but you're not letting them express who they are. A lot of parents think, this is who my child's going to be. And if their child is anything else, then all of a sudden love is being pulled away from
them. And how can you love your child unconditionally if you put expectations on them?
Bingo. Well, you know, I think my parents did a really great job. There were times where they didn't agree with the lifestyle choices that I was making, and I told my parents about it, and my dad said, you know, I don't necessarily agree with that. I hope it's just a phase, but I will never love you any less. You are still welcome in my house. You and your friends are welcome in my house. I love you. Again, I don't agree, but I love you. And I think that is how, you don't always have to agree to actively love someone. I think we have, we live in a community and a society now that says that love and agreement are the same thing, but they're not. We just have to learn how to love people that we do disagree with at times.
I wanted to ask you, you know, just going back to the storyline of the movie, what happens is, sorry to ruin it for you guys.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
If you want to see the movie, this is your chance right now to watch it.
So, okay, so then let me just say that there is an abduction that takes place.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so let me not spoil it all the way. There's an abduction that takes place. Do you have any kind of statistic inside of your head in terms of abduction versus recruitment? You know, how many, because we're seeing a lot of stories right now unfolding. Like, I was just talking to the girls about, there's this one video that went viral of this girl who'd gotten into a Lyft or an Uber, and he started taking, you know, the back, you know, he was like, back alley Sally. Yeah. He was just, you know, and she was like, where are you going? And then he pulled up behind a van, sliding doors, and she ran for her life. And then she started telling the story online, and you could see the she was visibly really terrorized. You know, and so we're, you know, we're starting to hear more and more of those stories.
It happened to my friend, my personal, that same thing happened to my personal friend.
Okay, tell us about that.
Wow.
So, a friend of mine, was on the freeway and had gotten into a car accident with, a young lady, and the car accident evidently was staged and got off the freeway. The girl was like, oh, I'm going to go get some money out of the bank, you know? And so my friend followed her, and then she went inside the bank, came out, got in her car, didn't give my friend the money, told my friend to follow her. She went around the corner, and as she, you know, sort of, and then she went down like a one-way street, parked, and then a car came behind her, and my friend, we're from Compton, so, you know, she was like, something's wrong here, and sort of jetted out, and literally, you know, the people were getting out of the back, you know, presumably to come get her. It happens a lot. Statistic wise, you don't really have a lot of statistics, but from the work that I've done, I would say it's 60-40, so 60% kidnapping and 40% recruiting, you know, because the reality is that, so grooming and recruiting are two different things, right? And so...
Can you explain the difference?
Sure, of course. So grooming is when a pimp will find a girl and, you know, sort of, that's like a Romeo pimp, so he'll groom
turn
her.
Turn her into his girlfriend.
Yes,
and buy her things.
Buy her things and then...
Love bomb.
Like Violet, like, you know, oh, here's a dress, you know, and then, you know, buy her a few that are not for hoeing, and then, you know, the third dress will be for hoeing, and he'll be like, well, baby, you know, if you, you know, because I want us to move here and do this and that, right? And so just sort of butter her up, you know, so emotionally fuck her, basically. So that's grooming. And then recruiting is when you're actively on, you know, dating sites, so Tinder, Black People Meet, whatever these sites are, right? And you are recruiting girls, and so you're catfishing them online to recruit them to kidnap them, right? And so you're finding the vulnerability of the girls, and then, you know, they think they're talking to this one person that they're seeing in this picture, and they're probably talking to somebody else. They convince the girl to come out and meet them at a certain time, and then the person that comes up and kidnaps them is not the same person that they see online.
But they know everything about that
they
girl
know everything
because
about
she's
that girl.
Told them everything,
everything.
On, right. you know,
correct.
Texting.
Correct.
You know?
And it's so easy to recruit because there are so many people who want to be seen on social media. I've always said, I don't want to be popular at all. I don't do what I do to be popular. I don't want to be popular. I don't do what I do for social media or cameras or none of that. Because when you attract that type of attention, you attract different types of energies. And there are a lot of perverted energies that are online, and they are looking for people who are scantily clad but have low self-esteem. And you can tell by people's internet posts.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things. So I'm super tall, and I get a lot of like people reaching out to me, like fetish sites and all this stuff. And I'm like, the time. And they're like, hey, can we post a picture of you here? Or, you know, and on one hand, you're looking at their site and you're like, hey, that's extra followers. Like, you post a picture of me. But that's not really the type of people that you want to be following you, because all of a sudden they post a picture, you get all of these disgusting DMs and all of this stuff like, oh, what shoe size are you? And can I lick your toe? And you're like, no, ew. Like, where did that come from?
And it's also not just that. So the reality is that you also are hearing a lot more stories about young kids being kidnapped, right? Yeah. And the reality is that I don't post my kids on social media. When I do post, they're off within an hour, right? So I figure if people have seen it, they've seen it, and that's good enough. Because you also have a wide group of men who are looking for young girls to kidnap, and they do that by finding people who post their kids obsessively online.
Really?
You know, so it's an open cesspool for perversion, and people don't see it from, because that's not how you think. But the reality is that it used to be that, you know, rapists, and they would have these torrent files that you used to hear about, that where they'd have files, and, you know, people would come in their house and hunt them down and get their computer and have all these files. Well, now people make it easy for them to just collect pictures and, you know, sort of follow a kid, and next thing you know, yeah, they're in that neighborhood. Yeah. Next thing you know, your kid is kidnapped, and you don't know how and why and where. And it's like, yeah,
because everybody's posting, like, I had a Coke an hour ago.
Yeah. And the geotag, like, where they are.
The geotagging.
They want you to know
stop
where they're
doing that.
I never geotag. Yeah. I have a question, because Melissa mentioned statistics, because y'all know I love me some
I know
statistics.
You love a fact and a statistic, girl.
I don't know. I'm a nerd, guys.
No, we love it here. We love it here.
Okay, I know. That's fine. But no, the Harvard School of Public Health, like, did a lot of extensive research, and they figured out that self-esteem and self-worth is actually a public health issue. Because when children Absolutely. Don't know their value, they Right. can't navigate interpersonal relationships.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they end up being a danger to themselves and to society.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And so that actually ended up being, like, my first writing job, right? I was, like, supposed to write Aesop's Fables about emotional intelligence so I could teach kids how not to mess up their lives.
Don't you? It's so, when you so, said so easy you, to fall in love with,
so
right?
So when you said you were an emotional intelligence expert, I was like, it was like Color Purple.
That is
my sister.
Right. My Pete Dada. That's right.
Because and so
that is so
we're
so,
here.
So so
I don't
so wanna, important.
I've been holding into this all time.
It's it's super important.
It's so important.
You know, relationship management, social management, self management. You know, understanding how to navigate your feelings, learning empathy versus sympathy. These are things that people do not teach their children. That's why it's so easy for people to litter. They don't understand that the earth is really a place where you don't. That's why people, you know, throw things at pigeons. They don't understand pigeons are like the ghetto dove. And so when you teach a child, right, how to be emotionally intelligent, you are giving them the tools that they need to survive in life, because yes. you can teach yeah. them a lot of things, but when you don't teach them how to have empathy, when you don't teach them how to have relationship management, mm-hmm. how do they go to school and make friends? How mm-hmm. do they learn how to have deductive reasoning skills? How do they learn how to really expand their cognitive thinking skills? People don't think about this, but a child's brain is being formed daily.
Yeah.
And so you have a certain amount of years to really form your child, and you can. I form mine. My kids are 7. My son is learning Mandarin. He's 7. He's wow. 7.
Yeah. Because his brain is like a sponge
Correct.
Right now.
So what does that look like for anybody who's just had kids and they're terrified that they're going to, like, okay, it's done. I'm going to screw them up for life. Like, what is a daily exercise that people can do, parents can do with their children to teach them emotional intelligence? What are some of the things that, you know, that you can tell them what to do, like volunteerism.
So act more than tell, right? So, okay. Here's a good example. My children go out with me to feed the homeless. I don't tell them anything about, you know, the homeless. These are my friends. These are our friends without homes, right? Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. after the experience, it's kind of like, you know, sometimes people live on the streets because, you know, so I tell a fable, right? Sometimes people live on the streets because of this, this, and that. And sometimes, so that is what I do. And that is what helps them to understand empathy.
In that way, you really humanize them.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. And then when someone passes away in my family, you know, I have a whole room, a whole prayer room with an altar with my ancestors. And so they know to give them water. They know to go, you know, if my kids, you know, if they want a pretzel at school, they have to go talk to the ancestors and get money off the ancestor table. It's like, I'm teaching my children how to have sympathy when someone dies, mm-hmm. right? And how to have empathy when you're going out to take care of someone who may not be in the same situation as you, right? But talking to your kids, to answer your question, having conversations with your children who are a lot more intelligent than we give them room for. But also, mm-hmm. my kids don't listen to a lot of recent anything. So everything that I have for them is tailored. They think New Kids on the Block is a new group.
But I love that, because, you know, music was so much more innocent back then.
Yeah. And I really just, you know, my kids are in a different space. So talking to your children can teach them emotional intelligence, but also working on yourself, right? So I can't tell my kids something and then not act in that, mm-hmm. right? So if I tell my kids eat good food, I have a whole garden in my backyard. We have kumquat trees, loquat trees, peach trees, tomatoes growing, marijuana growing, because I want my kids to know what all...
I'm moving
well,
in.
Well, that, because right? that's my medicine, yeah. but my kids know that that's my medicine. They know mm-hmm. that's mommy's medicine, right? right. So my kids understand and know what that's about, but my kids also know about stranger danger. Mm-hmm. You understand mm-hmm. my kids are being taught karate because I want them to know how to protect themselves and to protect others.
So right before you walked in the room, we were discussing women and girls and our fear of offending and how that usually can end us up in a pretty precarious situation because we don't want to say to the guy who we think is following too closely, mm-hmm. you know, hey, what are you doing? You know, and make noise and make yourself an inconvenient,
right.
you know, target. Blue was saying how she has absolutely zero problem offending
nope.
people.
So
I'd rather be rude back and alive than, you that's know, right. like pumped full of drugs.
Polite in the back of a van.
Exactly.
Yeah. For
exactly.
me, I can definitely be very naive where I'm like, oh, they mean well, or
you should
you know,
hang out so with me. I'd be like, no, Chantel, come back here.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, my friends make fun of me all the time. They're like, you didn't think to say anything? You didn't think I'm like,
yes. Yeah. Sorry. But what would you say to women and girls who are, you know, have that natural inclination to always be nice and don't want to offend. You know, don't want to offend, but that you know, siren is going off in their head. You know, their instincts are like, Molly, you in danger, girl.
Yeah.
But you know, listen to it. How many times have you come across somebody who had that instinct and they didn't listen to it? And
yeah, often. I mean, but that's the everyday person who is in a bad relationship and, you know, sees red flags as, you know, savior
mm-hmm. Talk
for
about
them.
It.
Listen.
I think that I'm a huge offender. If someone is walking too close to me down the street, I'll stop and let them pass by and say, oh, sorry, I just don't like people to walk behind me. And I offend a lot of people because my assertiveness is seen as being aggressive. I would encourage women to continue to be aggressive. It's good to be nice. I'm nice, mm-hmm. but I'm also aggressive. I don't like to be touched. I don't like to be fondled, and I don't like to be hugged unless I initiate the hug. Mm-hmm. And so when you set your own boundaries, it's easy to be nice with boundaries, mm-hmm. right? And not be taken advantage
Ooh,
of. But if you don't have boundaries and you're just a nice, naive person, well, shame on you. Right. We don't even live in a world where you can be nice and naive. I mean, you can be nice, right? And cautious.
Yep.
But to be nice and naive in 2020, 2019 is
willful ignorance.
It's crazy.
Listen, yeah.
It's willful.
I have definitely had to learn that. Nice with boundaries. Listen, yeah. that if I could explain my top three lessons from 2019,
yeah.
it has been to be nice with boundaries,
yeah.
for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
And also make it inconvenient for people to abuse you.
Yeah.
I've met a lot of people who I later found out were assholes,
yeah.
but they weren't assholes with me because
right.
they could tell that I want to catch
not
the smoke.
It. Right.
And so like, just make it so inconvenient yeah. that people like that be like, I don't want that one.
Yeah.
Throw that one back.
Yeah. Yeah. But also love yourself enough to be willing to let people go.
Yeah.
So, and that's the other thing. Oh, we don't God. Have enough self-love. And so we'd rather pour into other people, right, than pour into ourselves. A red flag is a sign for me to save this person. No, that's a sign for you to get away from the person. But
yeah.
instead of helping yourself, you're trying to help them.
Mm.
A lot of people have that problem.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many girlfriends of mine, younger girlfriends, are just like, I'm just too nice. I'm like, no, you're naive.
Yeah.
You can be a bitch.
Yeah.
You know, you are not too yeah. nice. There's no such thing as too
nice
because
I'm too beautiful. I'm too wonderful.
But here's the thing.
I'm single because I'm too deep.
Exactly.
Like, I'm just tired
it's like
of
you're
all
not,
of
you're not too anything. You're not. And there is no such thing as being too nice. That
right.
nice is a virtue. There is no such thing as being too nice. No, you've chosen willful
it means
ignorance.
Well, too nice means I have no boundaries.
Yeah.
Translate that yeah, for the audience.
Exactly.
Right.
If
right.
you think, where's the camera? Is the camera right there?
Yeah.
If you think you are too nice, you really just suck at setting boundaries.
Yeah.
That
I
is,
can tell you.
That
Happy
is
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Early Christmas present, y'all.
Early Christmas present.
I had a friend one time, I was like, they think I'm nice. And she said, no, they know you're nice. They think you're weak.
Yeah.
Wow. And that was like a complete mind shift. It is good to be nice,
yeah.
but you have to be strong enough to set those boundaries
Correct.
For
Your
you.
Your friend
yeah.
said that to you?
Yeah.
That's a good friend.
Right?
That's a good friend.
Backtracking a little bit because we were surprised by the statistic that you gave us where 60% is recruitment
yeah.
slash abduction,
yeah.
40% grooming.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this you know, so there's this mandate that cops can't, you know, investigate missing persons until, like, you know, 24 hours. Sometimes it's 48, you know, right. 72, whatever the case is. Do you think that considering the fact that sex trafficking is like a $99 billion a year industry, that it is growing exponentially, it's the fastest growing crime in the entire world. Sure. Do you think that this is an outdated, you know, protocol that the police are following, considering how many of these are abductions?
Protocol. Just here in Los Angeles, right over on 79th and Colden, the police have that area on lock. And what I mean by that is those are their hoes over there. And so when we're talking about to protect and to serve, and when we're having conversations, right? So you have to understand, I was on the streets for 16 years with a pistol and my ancestors as protection. Right. So there are a lot of things that I saw. I was gang raped by the police in Compton at the Willow Tree Inn off the 91 freeway way back when I was 15 years old. And so some of those same officers are still officers today and, you know, have to sort of see me in star court as I'm testifying against a pimp. Right. The reality is that the officers are they don't have empathy. They also traffic young girls. They also rape young girls on a consistent basis. And if you go over on Western and 79th in Colden, and you will see police patrolling back and forth, and not to stop it, but to make sure that their money is not being interrupted. So let's be clear that the police are not always here to protect and serve. I'm not anti-police at all. I have a lot of police officers that I definitely respect. But the reality is that I could do all of the training in the world, right? For law enforcement, but if their mind and their heart is set on raping a young girl, there's right. nothing that I can say that can stop them from doing that. So outdated, yes. Should someone be patrolling the police? Yes. But even as we were filming the movie, I took the film crew down just to do the background research and took them right down to the same area that I speak of. And they said, wow, the cops are going back and forth. Why aren't they stopping? And it's a whole line of cars coming down the street because they're patrolling to make sure that no one is interrupting their business. Right. So
I've never seen that on an episode of Law and Order or SVU. Correct.
Dunk, dunk. Wow. That, like, well, 99 yeah. billion, right? Like, you have to think about supply and demand.
Yeah.
So if it's that many people who yeah. are spending the money, like, let's be honest.
I mean,
about,
you use drugs once. But you can use a human being over and over again.
And why would you think that police wouldn't want to have, you know, some money or some back, you know, kickback from that when they did the same thing with drug dealers? And so same thing, except we're trafficking people and not drugs.
Oh my gosh. I have a light question. Sure. After that, I just needed that sure. snatched my wig. I'm happy I got braids in because that was a lot. There was a moment that I saw in a video that wasn't the movie. I was looking up on YouTube all last night. And you have all these great videos and you're very inspirational.
Yeah.
I wanted to hug you through the screen. There's mm-hmm. one moment where you're driving in your car and you say that you were addicted to saving these young people, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say something that might be controversial. If you guys disagree with me,
go ahead,
you know,
honey.
I'm completely open with it.
Floor is yours.
I do not believe in the word selfless, right?
Okay.
I think that it's impossible to work with energy and understand, like, there's a God bigger than you and think that anything is selfless. Like, anything you do is feeding the self in some way.
Okay.
Now, mm-hmm. some incentives are more noble than others.
Sure.
Sometimes mm-hmm. your incentive is that feeling of warmth you feel from being a part of your community.
Sure.
That's more noble than getting a paycheck.
Sure.
But you're still
altruism.
Being, yeah, but you're still being fed
altruism.
Energetically.
Yeah.
So there's no mm-hmm. selfless. Everything feeds back to self for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I loved when you said, I feel like I have an addiction to helping these young people, because you were almost acknowledging mm-hmm. I'm getting something from this too.
Yeah.
And I was like, see, I'm really happy about meeting her now.
Yeah.
So for
yeah.
someone who's watching this who might be looking to feed themselves in a way that's healthier than what they're used to,
sure.
how are you getting fed from the work that you're doing? Like, what part sure. of you is it feeding to be doing this kind of work right now?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. So one thing that I don't participate in is something that I like to call poverty porn.
Right.
And that is to exploit the people that you save in order to make money. And that's why I employ 5 survivors of sex trafficking who make candles out of my home. And those candles are sold business to business. And we have have an operating budget for my nonprofit of over $450,000. I don't have to ask or beg or have these young women on display that I've rescued. So what do I get out of it? I get the satisfaction of knowing that I've helped over 5,400 kids. Some I've put through college. Some I've helped them to just learn how to love themselves or their parents or whatever. And I don't do it for social media accolade. I don't do it for my ego. In the Bible, Paul talks about 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. Paul talks about his suffering. And he says, to keep me from becoming conceited about these great revelations passed on to me, there was a thorn placed in my side. Yep. 3 times I asked for the Lord to take it away, but the Lord said, no, for my grace is sufficient. Therefore, I would delight in all persecution and all insult and all hardship. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Mm-hmm. And I think that in my place of helping is in my most weakest place. But it's also the place that I know where God and my ancestors are with me. And so therefore, I am very strong. I get pleasure in knowing that I'm helping sort of like a servant of God, you know, sort of just sweeping through the night, not needing that accolade in order to have the passion to go out and help every day. So that's how I feed myself. I feed myself by not having an ego, but really, you know, looking at my answer and saying, did y'all see that, my niggas? Like, right. You know, that's really how I, you know, that's how I feed, like my niggas, are y'all proud or what? You know, wow. So, you know, I light a 7-day candle and say, you know, if I did a good job, can I, you know, manifest this or that? Like, I manifested being on this show.
I gave you a seven-day candle, Melissa.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. I manifest, you know, so I understand that a lot of people are ego-driven and want to be popular. I've never sought to be popular. I'm a you know, a known nerd, but I'm not interested in any sort of public accolades. I'm only interested in saving souls because people aren't doing that. And there's a difference between people and human beings. There's a lot of people walking the world, but very few human beings. And so I teach people to be better human beings.
Well,
that's
we,
a word.
Yeah. Oh my God,
that is a word. Yes.
At the end of the episode, we're going to put up a black card that's going to give people, you know, a ton of information about your organizations, how they can donate funds, how they can, if they're in the LA area, how they can possibly participate, you know, volunteerism. So we're going to supply everybody with that kind of information. We also want to ask you your expertise on, you know, what kind of hotline should people call? Which one do you think is the most valid and is actually doing the work to try to assist with getting, you know, victims pulled off the streets and into safe environments? Like,
obviously,
we're going to ask
call the police.
Maybe they're not the ones to call. I was given the impression that you have a certain, you know, distrust of law enforcement just because of, not all, but sure, you've just seen too much.
I mean, I don't see them as the ones that rescue, but what I will say, so I spent 10 years rescuing with my own facility. I don't do that anymore. But Lois Lee runs Children of the Night in Van Nuys. Awesome organization. I still give to them every year. Mm-hmm. I think that she is one of the foremost experts, especially here. But you have a lot of organizations out here, like the Dream Center and others, and they make a lot of money. They bring a lot of money in, but are they really helping the soul, right, or to heal these kids from the complex trauma? And the answer is no. Mm-hmm. So Children of the Night, great organization. I think that there are a number of hotlines that people can call. I mean, the hotline lines work, yeah, but it's when you get to the place where you're supposed to be saved, are they helping you? Exactly. You know, there are a lot of places that will take in a body for money, but are they helping you
recover?
And yeah, recover. And there are very few of those, unfortunately.
Sometimes people have an idea that it's just environment, you know. Correct. If you change the person's environment, then everything else is a domino effect and that will change. And that's evidently not the case. Correct. There's a whole lot of work that needs to go up here and in here in the person's soul in order to make them feel some semblance of wholeness.
Correct.
Yeah. The physical is the least of it. Yeah. The physical is the absolute least of it.
Yeah.
Actually.
One of the questions that I would love to know is, you know, you are going back into your arena of, you know, that tried to break you, right? Obviously it didn't, but you go back there to pull other people out, which is definitely noble work. How do you manage your triggers? How do you manage your mental and emotional health, knowing that you're putting yourself back in this arena that caused you pain?
Sure. So I have my own therapist. Mm-hmm. I definitely believe in therapy, and I believe in finding the correct therapist for you.
I
like
preach about my, that all
my,
the
my,
time.
My therapist didn't know anything about the African Yoruba tradition that I practice, Ifa, and you know, she got a book and sort of read up on it. And I think that that's what a good therapist would do, because when I talk about my power and I talk about Shango and Oya, I want her to know what I'm talking about, right? I have a life coach, you know, so I practice what I preach, right? Mm-hmm. And I perform Reiki on myself. I'm a Reiki master. So I perform Reiki on myself. I go out into the wilderness. I talk to plants and, you know, this is, you know, a piece of bark. I do a lot of grounding and self-love for myself. And so I don't really seek to get that from other people. Mm-hmm. I do all of that grounding work within myself. And that is what I teach other people how to do, because the world's a horrible, harsh place, right? And you have to be able to have fun. I'm happy every single day, every day, all day. I'm happy, right? And the reason for that is because I'm a servant, right? Yeah. I'm just here to serve, right? I'm here to love, to serve, and to remember why I'm here.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And follow-up question, when you meet these women, obviously when you have been scarred and hurt so much, you don't want to accept help. You don't want to accept love from other people. How do you get them to, I guess, let you love them?
Oh, I meet them where they're at. So, and that's the other thing. I'm intelligent. I have several degrees, but I'm real hood, right? Mm-hmm. So I can go to the hood and it's like, you know, what up, my nigga? You know, so, and in doing that, there's a comfortability that other people can't get, right? So the Mormon come in to help them, you know, bring, you know, a care package or a whole bag or whatever. They're not going to get the same thing that I'm going to get, right? I'm going to get the hug.
Right.
I'm going to sit and smoke the blunt. I'm going to, you know, so I'm going to get, right? I meet them where they are, and I'm very transparent. People know me because I walk the streets, and I'm unafraid, and I'm unapologetically me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like I have a confidence that sort of exudes any of the fear that I could have for walking the streets without any sort of protection. I have protection. They're called ancestors.
I love that part.
Hold on. Did you say hoe bag?
Yeah, so
a hoe bag.
Am I the only one who knows what a hoe bag is?
Maybe I do, and I didn't know that was what it was called.
Sure, so.
This took a turn. I thought everybody knew what a hoe bag was.
Delete that part.
Set that part up. I need to know what it is.
If there's a girl on the streets, right, and so if you're turning tricks, you need to be able to clean yourself between the tricks, right? And so a hoe bag is a bag that has maybe feminine wipes, right? So you can wipe yourself in between tricks. Maybe it has a toothbrush. Maybe it has things to freshen yourself up. So in between tricks, you are able to still maintain your freshness.
And in my life, it's more so if you have dates. I was like, how do you know what that is? Dates. You just like to be fresh.
You guys are not gonna play me on this show.
I'm like, yeah,
I'm not here to judge you.
Okay, wow.
You guys are funny.
You stay ready. You never have to get ready.
That's right. Sugar Free set that at our
right.
I know
okay,
we are.
It's fine. Right. We'll talk to them about
okay,
this later.
Okay, so I have some gifts.
Oh.
I have some gifts.
Ooh,
I have
presents?
Some gifts.
Okay.
I have some gifts.
Yay.
Thank you.
And wow. I want your professional opinion as to whether or not I did it right.
Okay. Oh,
okay.
What kind of gifts are these?
Sure. Dildos, honey. I'm kidding.
Okay.
Okay. So
I'm not adverse to that. I'm single and celibate and loving it. Hey.
Look.
Okay.
So this one's for you. You get some extra stuff. So hold on. Don't open it.
Okay.
Just yet.
Yeah.
Actually,
thanks
open
a
the
lot.
First. Oh, open the first thing. The envelope.
Okay.
Yay.
Thanks a lot.
It's a big box.
I wasn't expecting gifts. Just.
Pass it down.
Here you go. It's Christmas.
Don't open it yet.
Okay. Oh man, I want to open it so fast.
Now, because you are like incredibly lovely, and because this is so accidental, because
and I need this
because you don't wear
makeup.
You intentionally don't wear makeup, and your skin is beautiful. My facialist, whose name is Carla Bonilla, I'm gonna post her information at the end of this because she. When I say you are going to love her, the whole Reiki energy thing, crystals in her pockets, that's her too.
Okay,
she is. Amazing.
Oh my God.
I'm going to set her up with you too.
I know. She in the box?
No.
Oh.
She is the most beautiful soul in the entire world. You. When I say she's going to take care of you, it's going to be a love affair that I'm not going to be able to break up. I know it.
Thank you so much.
So I'm sharing her with you. She's going to give you a 90-minute facial.
Oh, that's money.
So
that's not cheap. That's
thank
amazing.
You so much.
She works in Beverly Hills. So
thank you so much.
You're very welcome. I just, for me, the massage and skincare.
I need that.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
I turned 41 next month, so I need that.
Oh,
I
mean, wow.
I just turned 43, so okay, like, you know, wow. Like this whole black girl
I feel you. Thank you, know? You so much.
You're
I
welcome. Love being You're black. Welcome. So
yeah, you did good. You did good.
Thank black. You. I'm really happy to gift that for you. And she's really excited to meet you.
Thanks a lot.
So that's for you. So I want you to open the boxes now, and I want you to tell me if this is a good gift to give girlfriends.
I'm so nervous.
Sister friends.
Ugh, do we get to open to too? Care.
Yes, open, open,
oh,
open.
Oh, we all get to open? Okay.
Yeah. Yes, okay. Yes.
So you're going to unfurl everything?
Yes. Yes.
A flashlight?
Oh, is you this one of those things that breaks the window?
Well, that goes on your...
I thought this was something else.
No,
okay.
that breaks somebody's eyeball.
Yeah.
Oh. So that goes on your keychain.
It's pink.
Yours is pink, gosh. Yours is silver, yours is black.
Thank you.
And so
What is this?
That is a carrying case for your...
Pepper spray.
So that's pepper spray.
This is trill.
This is so cute.
So hold on. That is a lighter and a stun gun.
Bang, bang.
What?
It's a flashlight and a stun gun.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the case is in there, and so is the charger.
Awesome. Oh, this is like Charlie's Angels. Yes. I am about this.
You are so awesome.
So that's mace, but it's not the spray mace. It's gel. You know, so it can't like come back at you and harm you. So if you spray that, it's going directly into the person you intended to go in.
What a great
and
gift.
And it's got like a little this handle. Is
oh my
so if you're jogging,
gosh.
If you're running at night or, you know, at 5 o'clock now, because
you
it goes,
put it on your wrist.
So you can hold it on your wrist or hold it in your hand and you could just be jogging. If anybody like attacks you, you're just like, boom.
Right.
This is an amazing gift.
My inner 7-year old wants to know what the on button feels like. Yeah. Like, I'm worried about pressing.
Don't stun me. I'm sitting
yeah.
right here.
I think it's a great gift.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. So the first, when you flick it on, you're only one of them is charged, and I can't remember which
this
one.
This is
I
a
charged.
Dangerous game, Melissa. One of your sons has a battery.
When you press up once, it's the flashlight, and it's a very bright flashlight. Uh-huh. But when you press up twice, it's the stun gun.
The stun gun, I don't know how to...
Don't turn it to yourself.
So I gave some thought as to what I wanted to purchase for my friends.
Yeah. I love
and
this.
I thought about, I did the whole taser versus stun gun. Yeah. With a taser, you need distance between you and the person.
I have a taser, yeah.
You know, okay, so you got that. Yeah. With a stun gun, this is if somebody is up on you.
Yeah.
You know, and you gotta get them off of you immediately. So that's why I went with the stun gun, but also a flashlight. And also this thing that will, this Listen. Looks like something from, I don't know.
It's a
know.
Shank. It's a pretty shank.
Try me.
It looks like something out of like.
Try me. No.
Game of Thrones.
You need to hold it like a bottle.
I think
what you're teaching your friends is to put your phone down and be on alert, because so many of us are caught up because we're in a parking lot and we're on our phone and that's how someone's able to come steal your purse. Yeah. It's like, no, you need to be on alert everywhere.
Yeah, I caught myself doing that last night. Literally, I was walking from my parking spot to my home and I was on my phone just texting. And then I was like, it is 11 o'clock at night. Chantel, get off your phone. I got off my phone and looked around and made sure.
Yeah,
so. This is a great gift.
Thank you.
This is
thank
wonderful.
You. This is
thank you.
And thank you.
I was so loved.
Yeah.
I was.
Thank you. I feel you're welcome. Gangsta. I feel so good.
Listen.
I want you guys to feel gangster. Hey. Yeah.
No, gangsta.
Gangsta. Okay,
the A.
Fine.
You feel like a G.
But I feel gangster.
Gangster. Thank you. I appreciate that. But I started thinking about, you know, my friends, and I started thinking about sometimes we just, you know, we'll get into our car and we won't. Okay, that's charged.
Sorry. It didn't stun, I don't think.
Okay, well.
Chantel, don't be a sister.
Sorry. Okay. No.
We'll try it out on Cecil later.
Chantel
huh?
has been pressing on buttons in the studio.
But what I wanted to do was I wanted my friends to, you know, really get hyper vigilant about and change their assessment of risk.
Yeah. Right.
You know, because when you're in your 20s, your assessment of risk is I could jump off a building, I'm going to fly.
Right.
You know, I want you to always know that you're vulnerable, regardless of, you know, how strong you are, how fit you are, you're vulnerable.
It can happen to anybody.
It can happen to anybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I get into my car, I open up the back seat. I'm looking in my back seat before I get in. When I get into my car, I lock the door immediately because, and then I put my seatbelt on and I start moving. Mm. I'm not staying in this parking lot, especially if it's dark at night. I'm just not going to do that. You know, and I just want more women to be, and people, not just women. I want people to be very hypervigilant about their personal safety. I also think that with you know, boys and men, they become victimized because society has this idea that men can take care of themselves. But when we're talking about an 11-year-old boy or a 12-year-old boy, he can't take care of himself. No. He's going to be, if a predator is zeroed in on him, he's going to be a victim. Yeah. So there's been something that's been circulating all over the internet. Sex trafficking is an all-time high. Here are some safety tips besides buying your friends stun guns, tasers, mace, and shanks.
You're a boss for that, Melissa. Thank
I love my gift.
Taekwondo, elbow's the strongest part of your body. So if you're close enough, use it. If a robber asks for your wallet or your purse, do not hand it, throw it, so that they have to make a decision as to what they were going for. If they want your wallet and your purse, let them go get that motherfucker, and you go in the opposite direction. Run, scream, all that stuff. If you're ever thrown into a trunk of a car, kick out the back taillights and stick your arm out of the hole and start waving like crazy. Obviously, driver won't see you, but everybody else will. Women have a tendency to get into their cars after shopping and eating, et cetera, like I just said, and they don't check the back seat. They don't lock the doors immediately. Do everything. Like, there's a checklist. Important. You get into your car, you look in the back seat, there's nobody there. You lock your doors, you start the engine, and you just, until you get into a safe, lit space and you're moving, you get that stuff going. Because somebody can get into the passenger seat and put a gun to your head and say, drive, and you're screwed. If somebody does get into the car with a gun to your head, do not drive off. Repeat, do not drive off. Instead, gun the engine and speed into anything, wrecking the car.
I like that one.
Yeah, I mean, like, think about it. If there's a car probably like 4 or 5, 10 feet away from you, airbags deployment, whatever, there's gonna be minor injuries, but you're probably gonna get off a lot better than if you start driving down dark.
You're also more likely to have something tragic happen if you leave the first location.
Yeah.
So most of the bad stuff happens at the secondary location.
Yeah.
And I love that you mentioned boys, specifically because usually when a young man is sexually abused or violated, it's normalized as he's just becoming a man.
Yeah.
And how many times have we heard about even celebrity guys like Chris Brown, for instance, who tells stories of being like 12, 13, and their mother's friend or someone in the vicinity, an older woman, has sex with them. And they're told, well, now you're a man. And no, you were actually violated.
Yeah.
Right. You're actually abused.
Yeah, we have to make sure that we don't act like this is only about women, because when young men are violated, they're actually less likely to have it highlighted as such.
Yeah. I also want you guys to, you know, obviously be aware of your surroundings. but if you are parked next to a big van, that might not be an accident. Get into your car from the passenger side door. And most serial killers attack their victims by pulling them into their vans while the women are attempting to get into their cars. Look at the car parked on the driver's side of your vehicle and the passenger side. If a male is sitting alone in the seat nearest to your car, you may want to walk back to the mall. If it's a minor inconvenience, do it in the name of your own personal safety. And always take the elevator instead of the stairs. Really? I don't know about
that. My trainer doesn't say that, so that's new.
I think that they're trying to say is really dark, dank stairways.
Especially at night.
Those would probably be less safe than an elevator, which I can agree with. But if it's like a massive staircase versus an elevator close quarters with somebody, I'm choosing a staircase that's well lit. But if it's like, you know, dank hallway set, then elevator over stairs. If a predator has a gun and you are not under his control, always run. He will only hit you, a running target, 4 out of 100 times. So that's a really good statistic. And even then, it will more likely not be a vital organ. Run preferably in a zigzag pattern.
See people do that on the movies.
And I swear to God, I did not read this. I just bookmarked it in my phone to read today. But it is hitting everything I said. As women, we are always trying to be sympathetic. Stop. Yep. That is that fear of offending mechanism that we have ingrained in us.
Correct.
If it may get you raped or killed. Ted Bundy, the serial killer, was very good looking, well educated, and always played on the sympathies of unsuspecting women because he had a cast on his arm. Mm-hmm. Oh, please help me put my furniture into this car and blah, blah, blah. And They were never heard from again, and they were decapitated. He would go back, have sex with the bodies. He was fucked.
Yeah, that is so scary because I am definitely the type of person to be like, oh, you need help? Here you go.
Yeah, no.
Somebody, not anymore.
I'll walk by and be like, somebody's going to get that. He walked with a cane or a limp and oftentimes asked for help into his vehicle or with his vehicle, which always led to the abduction of his victims. Another safety point is someone told me that her friend heard a crying baby on her porch the night before last, and she called the police because it was late and she thought it was weird. The police told her, whatever you do, do not open the door. I'm erring on the side of caution 100% of the time. I just am. Like, I just am.
Oh, there's another one about cars. So we're talking about, like, noises. Mm-hmm. A woman recently went out to her car, and the word, like, donut was, like, spray painted on the side of the car. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what's this? And her daughter screamed, get in the car, mom. Because traffickers would literally spray painting weird words.
Yeah.
And in the time it takes you to figure out what the hell is written on your car, they're grabbing you.
Correct.
So if you see anything written on your car or any kind of graffiti, get in the car, get home first, and then have someone look at what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Apparently there's this crying baby kind of thing that's going on where people are automatically wanting to try to help and save. And this is like a tactic.
The sound of a crying baby?
The sound of a crying baby is being used as a method to
have you open your door.
Entrap people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So nothing is sacred. That's fine.
Yeah. So, no. You know, and there was also something like really weird that happened on the news the other day. It was captured by Ring doorbell.
Yeah.
That you saw that
I
one,
did.
Right?
I did. Where the person was yelling and screaming, so and the person grabbed him.
So a woman walked out on her porch, and her house had Ring, and you could hear this woman's voice screaming,
"Somebody, worst neighbors,
somebody help me, somebody help me." And then you heard a guy's voice saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And then you see this Prius hauling ass down the street, and no one knows what the hell happened.
Yep.
I still don't. And the people, there's no follow up.
The people on the porch did nothing. They literally was like, it's like, do you not hear this? And
but
see
they're
this?
Hearing it, but terrible. It was at night, and everyone was so disoriented. Like, where is it coming from?
And how do you know it's not a trap, too? Like, listen to what you just said about
too.
Traps.
How do you know that somebody's like screaming for help? And that's what they say when women are being attacked or an attempted abduction, you don't scream rape, you scream fire.
Yeah.
Because people are more willing or more likely to come to the aid of somebody who's screaming fire, and everyone's gonna be like, oh my God, there's a fire somewhere, rather than rape. People are gonna be like,
I'm gonna leave that alone.
And also, we're black women. Can we be honest about the optics? A black woman screaming down the street is gonna get a lot less sympathy.
Yeah.
Then
Amber Geiger.
Let's be honest, right? And also, there's this thing, there's a name for it, it escapes me, but they say the more witnesses that are watching, the least likely someone will help you.
Correct. Oh, if that's the Kitty Genovese, syndrome or whatever.
They're all waiting for somebody else to help you. Like that infamous story where the woman was getting like attacked, and everybody in her building
in Queens
was watching. But they all assumed somebody else was going to do it. Correct. So don't think that safety in numbers necessarily means that Samaritans work in large numbers.
Correct. We live in a society in which people are going to film your death and not help you.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be drowning and they'll be filming it, but they will not throw you a lifeline.
Yeah, so that's, be super vigilant. And I also encourage women to, you know, really look into learning how to carry a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that you say that. I want to go, like, learn how to shoot so bad.
Yeah.
I mean,
you have to understand, you gain a lot more confidence by knowing how to protect yourself. Not that you want to just go around carrying a pistol like I do, but you really just want to have that confidence to be able to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And not just about having a gun, but going to a range, shooting, learning about precision, knowing what kind of gun you can handle. These things are really important because you never know when you will be out and you will need to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Carrying things like this, super important. We're so busy on our phones. Think about yourself, mm-hmm. protecting yourself, because we know that people are not going to help us.
Yeah.
That is really the reality. And if you don't know how to protect yourself, then you will be on the news, and we will have a sign up and a vigil for you, right? and people are not as vigilant as they should be. And with all of these stories, it shouldn't be us passing around stories. It should be us passing around safety tips.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's what a good friend does.
The next time you go to the range, you let me know.
Sure.
I've been trying to get someone to take me to a shooting range for 2 years now.
Okay.
And some of you are watching.
Let's go.
And every time some of you are watching Flaky Friends, and every time someone promises to take me, they flake out on me.
We will make an episode out of it.
I am so passionate about, ever since Trump became president and all these things about, you know, the rights of gun ownership, I think there's something really important about people of color, particularly women, knowing how to use firearms. Mm-hmm. I'm passionate about that. Right. So I'm gonna give you my number.
Sure,
we're gonna be friends.
I've thought about you know, buying a gun, owning a gun, you know, obviously legally.
Gun safety as well.
And then I thought to myself, like, I took my thoughts a little bit further, and I was just like, could I actually use that gun and kill somebody? I don't, like, it was a terrifying thought to me.
If me and Chantel were in danger, I feel like you would pull the trigger.
Yeah, that would be really hard.
Probably, Melissa?
I'm sorry. You know what I mean.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. When I first started my business, the first thing I learned was how to file bankruptcy, right? Not because I wanted to, because I felt like if I really needed to know, right? And that's also how I feel about owning a gun.
Exactly.
You know, I don't want to have to use it, but I want to know how to use it in case somebody comes into my home, because I take care of my grandmother. I'm with dementia and I have twins that are 7. I'm going to protect my home first. Mm-hmm. I'm the guard. Mm-hmm. So I need to know how to do that. And I don't have road rage. I don't have anger issues. And so, you know, those are the things that I would want someone else not to have if they were going to carry a firearm. But, you know, it's like the mace is important. The stun gun is important. But what happens if someone is in your home and you are downstairs and you find out somebody is upset? How do you protect yourself? Do you know your rights? Right. Do you know your rights in your home? Like, people need to be educated, because we're not. And then when we kill someone, or someone comes in our house and kill us, again, I don't want to be another news story. Mm-hmm. So I educate all of my friends on trafficking, their kids, you know, boy and girl. Mm-hmm. I educate everybody, because education can go a long way. I'm here to plant the seed. I don't want to be the light, the sun, the soil, the wind. I just want to plant that seed, because one day you will need a gem that I give you. And I want you to be able to pull back from that in the moment that you need it. And that's what happens with a lot of girls and guys that I rescue. You know, you can pull that information that I give. And in the movie, you saw me sort of schooling. That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. The girl may go out again, right? And then I may find myself trying to rescue her again because she remembers that seed that I planted, right? And she has to experience it to understand, wow, that's what she meant.
Yeah.
You know, you remind me of we have a thing we call Server Tip of the Day. You are the living embodiment of a meme. I'm not going to take credit for this because this is going to sound deep, but this is actually not me. I just have a good memory. There's a quote that says, you cannot be peaceful unless you first acknowledge that you are capable of great violence. Because if you are not capable of violence...
I'm trying to remember who said that.
If you're not... what's a meme? It doesn't have any attribution to it. But if you're not capable of violence, then you're not peaceful. You're harmless. There's a distinction. And I think you're peaceful because you're really clear.
I think it was Bruce Lee.
We'll Google check that. Be careful. I'm not going to claim that because the internet lies. They probably say that it was alien or Martha
that
Stewart.
That is so deep.
But it's true, though. Accurate. You cannot be peaceful unless you... I'm very peaceful. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you cannot be peaceful.
Peaceful person that wants all the smoke.
If you are not about that life, you're not peaceful. You're harmless. Right. And you are so full of peace. And you're the beautiful embodiment of that meme, right?
Steel Magnolia.
Melissa's going to keep on... Abraham Lincoln came up with that quote, ladies and gentlemen. Trying to have a moment. Do you see what happens here? I'm here for
But I definitely come from the school of, you know, I ain't a killer, but don't test me. I come from that. Jayla, you're about to become a fan favorite.
I really welcome peace.
Mm-hmm. I do welcome, you know, like I do, you know, but I'm hood as fuck.
You're choosing.
Yeah, and I pick and choose my battles. You understand? But a lot of us don't really understand that somebody in our family will be trafficked, or they will be solicited to be trafficked. Yeah. And it's a very touchy subject, but I think that parents need to do a better job of teaching their kids about molestation, incest, being taken advantage of. Tell them the stories that happened to you, somebody taking advantage of you, your young guys and your young girls, because no young man grows up and says, oh my God, I want to be a pimp. And no young girl grows up and says, I want to be a hoe. And so because that doesn't happen, we have the ability to sort of train them before they get out there to the real world. And we need to take more accountability for how we're training the people in our village.
I love that.
I mean, listen, obviously we can continue this on like forever and ever and ever, but they're going to kick us out of the studio.
Darn it.
I know. Jayla, you're more than welcome to come back. We're going to be asking you to come back.
Thanks a lot. Because about our gun range trip.
Yeah,
exactly. But before we let you go, you guys go, I just want to leave the audience with, we call it our server tip of the day. Mm-hmm. What little, you know, nugget of wisdom can you, you know, impart the audience and us with that just sits in your head, a quote that you live by, a mantra that is your daily affirmation? Like, what can you leave us with? Because
I carry my own affirmations. Yes, I do.
So
one of my affirmations for 2019 is I am always acting in integrity and love. Lauryn Hill said, fantasy is what they want, but reality is what they need. And I live my life really to seek, say, and live the truth. So many people live in a habitual lie and they become stuck in this emotional purgatory of making that lie a reality when they can't. And I just welcome people to keep it real or just keep it. When we're not acting in integrity and love within ourselves, we attract people who also don't do the same. Mirrors. And so when you get stuck in that pattern of attracting the wrong type of person, you change as a person. So I just welcome people to keep it real or just keep it.
Wow.
That's the mic drop.
It really is.
Like, I can't say anything behind that. Listen, there's nothing really left to say.
She had all of our server tips right there.
Yeah, pretty much. So we're going to wrap this episode up. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hit the subscribe button if you haven't already, because we're going to be having amazing guests like Ms. Jayla Baxter. I can't thank you enough for coming by.
Conversations that matter. Impact people's lives. Yeah. This was amazing.
Yes, and guests that actually, you know, like walk the walk, you know, talk the talk and walk the walk. I mean, like, I'm so impressed with you. You're gonna love that facial, by the way, girl.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're gonna love that facial.
I'm excited for you.
Can I say that we were able to have this conversation and be respectful and informative and still had a good time, right?
Yeah, this was fun.
I think it's important that we show people that these conversations can happen without it always being like, oh God, we're having the talk. No, these need to be more normalized. So I love the tone of this conversation because hopefully other people will be willing to have the same kind of conversations and giving out the same kind of gifts to their friends.
Yes. Listen. And if you can believe it, I'm excited on Amazon. I mean, you can get everything from like sex toys and dildos.
Don't plug Jeff. He's good.
Yeah. I mean, I won't tell you which brand it was. I'm going to need some sponsorship, but I feel so powerful with this.
I'm glad you do. Okay. I'm going to work on, I'm going to practice.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. Take care until the next episode. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
If you like our show and the content we're featuring, please hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, and just like your Uber driver asks, leave us a 5-star rating. Also, please leave us a review about your favorite part of the show or your number one takeaway from the episode. We read all the reviews, and this will only help us curate the content that you want to see and hear. Thanks, guys.